This pod doesn't need an intro, it just needs a warning. Julien Laurent got 87 points last week, and as you can imagine, he's his usual humble self. So please accept mine and everyone else's apologies and try to enjoy the pod a bit more than we did. Hello and welcome back to the latest FPL pod. I'm Kelly Summers, this is Sam Bonfield, and we're off.
That's it, Kelly, I'm done.
That's it, we're done, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because Julien Laurent... Go on.
Woo, hello, girls. Hello, everyone.
He's dancing, everyone, just so you know.
Just the 87 points this week. Ah, it's good to see you too. You too.
It's really not good to see
it's
you.
It's not good to see you.
So, I don't even really know where to begin with this. I feel like this is going to be therapy, Sam, and we just have to get through it and we'll be better at the end of it.
We won't be. He's going to annoy us this whole hour.
I'll start by saying I sold Foden.
Did you?
Which was a great move when I brought Richarlison in for him.
Looked great on Saturday lunchtime, Kels.
Yeah,
he looked brilliant.
Well done.
I did it at 10:59 again. I gave Sam a panic text.
Yeah.
It all looked good.
Yeah.
And then Foden got a hat trick. And to make it worse, I forgot that Jules had Foden as well. And Jules, your team, well, other than Richarlison, you had every other player that seemed to do well last week, didn't you?
Yeah, and to be fair, Kels, more seriously, I was very close to do the Foden to De Bruyne move, like I think a lot of people did. The only reason why I didn't do it was I didn't think that maybe KDB would start two Premier League games 4 days apart. After all the kind of game time management that Pep had over him, the long injury... I was just not sure he would start. I thought Haaland would start, but for KDB, I had just a little doubt. So I thought, let's not do it and see what happens. Foden would start too. And I just, as long as Foden gets a better tally than De Bruyne on the Brentford game, then I'd be happy with it. I just never thought that in the end, Foden would have the hat-trick, KDB only with an assist. So it was more simply because I was just not convinced that KDB would start against Brentford after starting the previous games 4 days earlier. And that's the only reason why I kept Foden. Otherwise, I would have made that move.
Sam, how was your game week otherwise, other than having to check?
Yeah, how was your game week?
Do you know what, guys? I actually had... Like, it was fine. I had a reasonable game week again. But yeah, here we are again. So I had a very small red arrow this week, but another one. I played the right goalkeeper. Let's have some, like, positives on this.
I did check play that the right when goalkeeper. I saw that Areola came off. I checked your team.
Yeah.
No, I played the right goalkeeper. I had Martinez in goal. So that was positive. I benched Gross this week, which is just infuriating because I've been quite loyal to him over the last few weeks. And I just couldn't quite bring myself to not play Solanke, given that he'd punished me in midweek the week before by benching him. And I was kind of like, I feel like I'm probably going to have to play Solanke this time, which meant I didn't have much choice but to bench Gross. And obviously that didn't go that well. But, you know, my team looks still quite good on paper and I do feel like it's been quite unlucky the last few weeks. So we'll keep going and hope that Jules learns to be quiet.
No, that's the right spirit. That's the right spirit.
Yeah, I finished on 66, but I did take a minus
four. That's not bad. It's just 21 points less than you. That's not bad.
But I was quite happy. Like, all of my attackers, apart from Solanke, returned. It's the defence at the moment's letting me down as well. I did bench Cole Palmer.
Oh, Estupiñán as well is just an infuriation. Like, for him to not start, I was like, oh. So actually, when the Brighton clean sheet went, I was quite relieved because it felt a bit better.
But also watching, I've got Malo Gusto, and watching him last night actually has given me a little bit more hope because if he plays like he did last night against Aston Villa, then maybe he'll start getting more than his grand total of 0 and 1, which he keeps getting at the moment. Okay, well, let's swiftly move on from that, shall we? Because there's another 15 game weeks to go to sort it all out. Is it 15? Yeah, it's 15. I hope it's 15 because that's what I've said. It was actually another big weekend for us in terms of announcements. And this is always exciting when my phone pings and it's kind of a random time. I know it's probably Sam telling us that there's a double game week announcement. And we had one 2 hours ahead of Saturday's deadline. We had the confirmation that double game week 25 will include Luton and Liverpool. Liverpool will face Brentford and Luton. Luton will face Manchester United and Liverpool. That does add to the double game week that we already knew about for Manchester City and Brentford. Then yesterday, in case you missed it, we had another announcement. This time, double game week 28 will feature Luton and Bournemouth. Where's Ian Irving when you need him? He's going to bring his boy Doughty in, isn't he? Bournemouth going to play Luton at home and Sheffield United at home. They actually play Burnley in game week 27. So they're going to play all three promoted sides in two back-to-back game weeks. So I do wonder if we're going to be looking in the South Coast direction. Luton are going to play Palace and Bournemouth both away. So as well as looking on the South Coast, I wanted to sell Solanke.
Come on, me
Sam,
too.
Can we?
Nope, that was my plan this week. My plan was to go Solanke to Darwin this week to target the Liverpool double game week. And then the double game week got announced and I thought, okay, well, if I do...
You've been double-doubled.
Yeah. And I thought, well, if I sell him this week, one, I'm giving myself a further headache for game week 26, because obviously it would be another Liverpool player and they blank in 26. So not only would I have an issue for 26, but also I'm going to want to bring Solanke back in for that double and have him back in for 27. So it would either be Darwin in for a hit, taking out Solanke, and then swapping that again, heading into 26, 27 and 28. And at that point, you're talking about a minus eight to move two players between each other. And that feels ridiculous at this point in the season. So for me, I think it does. It massively puts me off selling Solanke. I think he now becomes a lock because you can have the opportunity to target in on the double game week and also have a player that plays in blank game week 26 and obviously have the nice fixture that they've got in 27 as well.
What about you, Mr. 87? Are you tempted by Solanke?
You sold Solanke.
I sold Solanke to bring Haaland in.
Of course, I forgot.
It was between Watkins and Solanke anyway.
Imagine if you sold Watkins.
I know. I'm not sure if I mentioned I captain Watkins.
How can you go from I might sell Watkins to captaining him?
In my 87 point weekend, I captained Watkins, which was the right captain. I don't know who you captained, you two, but it was not Watkins. I can tell you that. And when he got a goal and three assists, I was like, come on. And to be fair to him, he should have had another goal easily. Mm. And maybe another assist. But
I didn't ask you about that. I asked you about Solanke.
I thought you asked me about my captain and how I got to 87 points. Okay, sorry. So, it's Captain Watkins time. Captain Watkins time.
I asked you if you're going to... Well, okay, let me reframe the question.
Yeah.
That really clever move of selling Solanke that actually doesn't look that clever now. Will you be reversing it?
I just think there's still time. I understand what Sam said, and I think he's right. If you still have Solanke, if you don't have Solanke, if you're like me, you sold him for Haaland or Darwin or whatever, there's still time for you to bring him back for game week 27, because you know they go away to Fulham, Bournemouth this weekend, then they've got Newcastle away and City at home. I'm not sure I would fancy Solanke in those two games. Really, I mean, if you have him, yeah, play him, of course. So then you've got plenty of time still to bring him back for the Burnley away game in game week 27 and then the double game week that follows up. You can easily make a Solanke for Watkins swap for 27, for example. So even if you don't have him right now, then I don't think there's any rush to bring him back until the game week 27.
But I don't think you'd sell Watkins now, because Watkins is guaranteed to play in game week 29, having gone out of the FA Cup.
Jules doesn't go that far ahead.
No, of course he doesn't. So, but I could see that you would sell Darwin after the double, because, well, they don't play in game week 26, and then they're also likely to blank in 29 if they progress in the FA Cup. So I could see that you would hold Darwin for the double in 25, then sell him for Solanke in 26 move. But the Watkins move just doesn't make any sense to me. Because
no, it was only because I mentioned my dilemma from Watkins to Solanke from last weekend.
Mm.
That's the only reason why. You can swap any striker for Solanke if you want to keep Watkins in your team, if you have him, and bring Solanke back. It was just the thought of the Watkins or Solanke, what to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically we all want Solanke, we're all not sure how to get him. There's now too many forwards with doubles. I think that's actually the problem now, Sam.
Yeah, exactly.
There's too many forwards with doubles, because we've got Haaland doubling, we've got Ivan Toney who's going to double, we've got Dominic Solanke, we've got Nunes.
People also have Alvarez.
Alvarez, of course. And then you've also got to think about the blank in 29, as you mentioned there with Watkins.
Yeah, exactly. So now that we have confirmation that Chelsea progressed in the FA Cup, we know that West Ham and Aston Villa will both play in game week 29. So that's three fixtures happening there. That puts us in a position where we can really start thinking about that. And of course, you don't want to think about that too quickly, because you've obviously got the other doubles to play out in 25 and 28 and the blank in 26. But 29 should be on your thoughts, because depending upon when you want to play wild cards, and we'll talk about that maybe in a different pod, but the strategy for when you deploy your wild card will have a massive impact on how you manage game week 29. That's something I'm already thinking about. That's something that Jules hasn't even crossed his mind. Like, he's looking at me like, what is
really
she talking about?
No, I mean, how did you think I got 87 points this week? All by long-term planning, all of it.
Says the man that was nearly going to transfer out Foden for KDB 5 minutes before the deadline.
All about planning.
Okay. Let's talk about the double in a bit more detail in terms of the strategies, because we have got chips we can use as well, Sam. Is the free hit an option, maybe?
So I think the free hit is looking more and more appealing for game week 26, for sure. The game week 25 double, the way that it is, so having Liverpool playing twice followed immediately by a blank, does mean that you could potentially be in a position where you want to go for at least a double up at Liverpool. Maybe you have a couple of Spurs assets in your team if you've got a Richarlison and a Porro or a Udogie like Jules has got. Plus you might have a Chelsea player or two in there, Palmer probably, maybe a Gusto like you've got Kells. So all of those things mean that you're potentially putting yourself in a position where you're targeting on Liverpool and Luton for game week 25, and you want to hold your Luton assets because of course they not only double in 25, but they double again in 28. So free hit 26 is suddenly looking really, really attractive because it means you can keep those doubling assets. You can invest however you want to in Luton and Liverpool now and know that you've still got them then to come back straight after that double game week and after the blank game week.
Jules, would you be tempted?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Or is this too far?
No, I've already planned for it. So I'll do free hit for game week 26 and wild card for game week 29. And I'm sorted. Yay, here we go.
Oh,
yeah,
but maybe not for 29, maybe go a week later.
Yeah, a week later. I mean,
because that's international break as well, heading into game week 30. Game week 30 is perfect.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, I'm still really excited by game week 25, mainly because of Manchester City and Brentford. And of course, Liverpool and Luton have added to that now as well. And what makes it even nicer, Jules, have you looked at their fixtures that the doubling teams have got in game week 24? Because Man City have got Everton at home, Brentford Wolves away, not the easiest fixture at the moment. Liverpool have got Burnley at home, Luton, Sheffield United at home. So we don't really advise taking hits, but if you were going to, would those be the kind of teams and this situation be the kind of situation you would do it in?
Yeah, I think you should target those teams. And if you only have one Liverpool player, one City player, it's maybe the time to double up at least. If you've got two already, maybe think about trebling up. If you've got Darwin and Jota like me, why not going for Szoboszlai or Luis Diaz, depending on fitness, you know, or even Trent if you can afford him, all that kind of stuff. If that means taking a minus four, go for it, because clearly there's a lot of potential of points return in those game week 24 and game week 25. So the next three games for City, for Liverpool, even from Luton, we take the mickey of Alvi and for Alfie Doughty, but I will bring Doughty in. I think it's a really good move.
Yeah, me too. I'm doing
to make
it.
And we mentioned Adebayo last week after his hat-trick, he scored again. So all those players, I think forward are a bit more difficult because as we've said, there's so many great options right now. But yeah, I think certainly target as early as now for this weekend, for game week 24, Luton players, Liverpool players, City players, and even an Ivan Toney, if you really feel like it will be good for your team.
Yeah, which players from those teams are you looking to invest in, Sam?
Yeah, it's not very often I agree with Jules, but I think this is the perfect week to take a hit.
You should often more than that and you'll get 87 points.
Wow.
Hey! I'm here all week.
I feel so sorry for the listeners who have their headphones turned up.
I wonder if they'll all just switch off at that point, Kel. They might just be like, all right, I'm not listening to this anymore. So I think in terms of who to target, because the fixtures are so nice, I think doing it early makes a lot of sense. I don't have any Liverpool assets at all currently. And like I said before, my plan was originally to target Darwin. And I think if you've got a spot in that forward line that you can easily make Darwin, then that does make sense. Jota, of course, in the middle as well. I think the difficulty slightly with Liverpool and overinvesting in Liverpool this week is that we haven't had any update yet on Salah and Salah's availability. And of course, if Salah is available for the double game week.
Oh gosh, imagine. That's
going to throw an... Yeah, exactly. It will throw absolute carnage in. So I think you just have to be mindful of that because like my team, because I've got KDB over Foden, it's going to be incredibly hard for me to get Salah for the double game week. And I'm just sort of hoping that if he does come back for it, that Liverpool might have one eye on the Chelsea game in the cup and the cup final, and maybe he gets some reduced minutes like we've seen Pep deploy with Man City. So I think with Liverpool, my plan this week is to just go for one, and I'll probably look at Jota because it's much easier for me to find a spot in my midfield for him. I think Luton look like really nice options. It's not the world's best double game week, Manchester United and Liverpool, but it's also not horrendous. And because they've got Sheffield United at home heading into that, I think you can take the minus four for a Luton asset and have them knowing that you then keep them for their double again in game week 28. So I'll be looking at one Luton player in this week. I think trebling up on Man City makes sense. Personally, I've got KDB, I've got Haaland. I think I'm going to go for Rodri as my third because that's much easier than getting a Foden when it comes to budget. It's a much easier move and it's almost guaranteed the starts in a way that you can't say for most of the other Manchester City assets. And his returns have actually been decent recently.
He's scored a couple of goals in the last
season. Yeah, so last four he's had 10, 4, 10 and 2 points. So he's been, you know, ticking over the points. So I think as cheap options go, so this week for me, no spoilers for my transfers later, but I'll take a -4 this week and then look to add to my City investment and maybe my Liverpool investment next week again.
So when you say you're going to take a -4, have you got 2 free transfers anyway, or is it just one?
No, I've only got one. So I'm going to make 2 transfers this week, but take the hit, because I think with the fixtures so nice for these doubling teams in 24, it absolutely makes sense to have them for this week, because then effectively that -4 is being spread over 3 fixtures, because it then doesn't matter so much if they don't return this week, because you've got the 2 fixtures coming up next week. So you just give your opportunity to, for the -4 to be less of an impact on your overall score for the week.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. If we're going to talk about chips, Jules, what about the triple captain chip? Would you be tempted to look in that direction, seeing as you've forward planned so well so far, it sounds like?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I'm glad you asked me that question, Kels, because I've got a really good answer, because I'm a planner. I think it makes a lot of sense, and it's a no-brainer for everyone who's got Erling Haaland or who's going to bring him back to their teams to look at this game week 25 and the City double game week. If City progress in the FA Cup and they play Luton away in the next round, then they will likely have another game week at some point, potentially. So if you don't feel it like this game week 25 for City and Haaland, you don't have to triple captain him, of course, because you might have another chance later down the season in a few weeks' time. However, we've said, I mean, this is Chelsea at home, Brentford at home, both home games for Haaland, who, remember what Pep did with De Bruyne and just managing those minutes when he come back. Mm-hmm. There was none of that with Haaland. He played, I think, 85 minutes against Brentford. So you know he's going to start. You know he's going to play probably the full game. There's not like taking him off at halftime, just playing an hour or coming on for the last 30 minutes, things like that. I don't think that will happen. So he will have the Everton home game to get even more into the rhythm, more match fitness, and then he'll be ready. They've got 3 home games in a row, City, which is pretty incredible, before going to Bournemouth after that even. So the next 4 fixtures are great, and I think it makes a lot of sense to triple captain Haaland. And like Sam said when we were preparing for the show off air, a lot of people will do it. So if you don't do it and you've got Haaland, the impact that will have if you don't triple captain him on your rankings would be huge.
Yeah, it's quite scary actually, isn't it?
That just listen to what I say then. Interesting.
He does. Yeah, he does. He pretends he doesn't, but he does. Yeah.
No, I take notes, gonna, you know, and I plan.
But Jules, these game weeks are when your planning is going to really come under the spotlight, and we're going to see just how good a FPL manager you are, because this is when...
There's no pressure, because at this point, you've got to win it effectively now, Jules.
Like, win what? I mean,
FPL. FPL.
The whole thing.
I
mean, nothing is impossible, you know.
I think that's as close to impossible as we can get.
The one thing I would say, Kel, about the triple captainship is that Jules is right. If Man City progress in the FA Cup, there will be another fixture, double game week to come. However, likelihood is they would go in either 34 or 37, depending upon their progression in Champions League and all of those other competitions as well. And when you look at the fixtures that they've already got scheduled for 34 and 37, it's Spurs away in 34 and Fulham away in 37. So it's their away fixtures anyway, which, you know, they don't normally have that much joy at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, although they did score against us in the FA Cup. But they're not as, it's not as nice as 2 home fixtures that they have in game week 25. So if they progress in the FA Cup, they'd blank in game week 29, which would be Brighton away. So that would be 2 away fixtures if it went into 34 or 37. So if you're playing the kind of City are better at home theory, which is, you know, true, they do score a lot of goals at home, and I think when it comes to double game weeks, you don't get much better for the likes of Erling Haaland than a double game at home this time around. And you know he's fit at this moment, so he's coming back from injury, as Joel said, got good minutes on Monday against Brentford, has another game to play ahead of the double. You don't necessarily have that vision of what's that City team going to look like by 34-37, because there's things you can't predict. So triple captain in 25 for me is obvious.
Going back to the free hit in 26, Sam, and I'm hoping you're going to say yes to this because, of course, I've brought in Richarlison. Would it be worth targeting Spurs for their back-to-back home matches against Brighton and Wolves? Because, of course, you don't need to worry about 26 because you've got that free hit in play then.
Yeah, Spurs are interesting, aren't they? Because good form in terms of the attacking players. Obviously, Son coming back from the Asian Cup a little bit earlier as well, having gone out. So it'll be interesting to see whether he goes straight back in the team for the game against Brighton on Saturday. I think there will be a lot of managers, and Richarlison's the most transferred in player this week, which really surprised me given that Spurs don't have a double, but they also don't blank in game week 29. And that's really important. So I think for a lot of managers, they'll be looking at game week 29 and thinking, well, I need to get my team to a place where I can get as many people out as possible that week. And if I free hit in 29, that means I can hold my Spurs assets and have them for the nice fixtures that they have in the next 2 weeks. Yes, they don't play in game week 26 because Chelsea are in the League Cup final, but then you can use your free hit. It covers out your problems with owning Spurs assets and allows you to keep the informed ones heading through to game week 29.
Okay. And in game week 27, they play at home. They've got three home games in a row. Mm. I mean, there will be that blank in 26, mm-hmm. but 24, 25, 27, the three home games, and they've been so good at home that, you know, they might not keep a clean sheet because they that's not what they do. However, going forward, even if you take Okoro, Udogie, and then all the Madison, all those attacking players that they have, might be a really good idea with three home games in a row.
And they will eventually double because that Chelsea fixture has got to be rescheduled.
Have to be replayed, yeah. Mm.
Thanks for making me feel better about Richarlison.
It was a great move.
Still to help.
Did you keep Foden as well? I can't remember.
Moving on, believe it or not, I haven't just glossed over the mini league. And of course, I always tell you how we're doing in case you hadn't noticed. In our FPL Pod mini league, Jules is top. He's got 1,440 points.
Do I?
You do.
That's a lot.
Like you didn't know that.
No.
You'll know this bit too as well. You're 40 points ahead of me.
Hey!
I'm 30 points ahead of Sam. 31 points, sorry.
That make me 71 points ahead of Sam. Is that right?
If I can. Yep. Okay. And interestingly, Ian is in our league as well, and he's 18 points behind Sam. Sam, are you getting a bit nervous about that?
I'm having a shocker at the minute. I'm going to have to make some rash decisions and hope for the best.
The only way's up, Sam. The only way's up.
Let's hope so.
Well, I mean, it's not. There's like a million, 10 million places I could go down, but you know, it'll be fine.
We joke about Jules, and obviously it's quite painful for myself and Sam seeing him do so well, but it does also show that maybe this podcast helps him and hopefully many of you
massively
who are listening. He actually took 46% off his rank last week, and you're now 2 points away from being inside the top 10,000, Jules. So that's pretty impressive. Also, yeah, this is a stat that Sam's put in that I really like. There isn't a single other manager with the same team as Jules in the top million players in the game. His team, like you, Jules, literally one in a million. I don't think there's anyone else on planet Earth like you either. I think we should probably all be quite grateful for that. In terms of our open FPL Pod mini league that you guys play against us in, and we've got a new leader at the top. Hajalmar Shawling is now top.
I can't believe you just said that.
He's ahead of, I just glossed over it as well. He's ahead of Michael's comeback kids by just 3 points. Hajalmar captained Watkins, just like you, Jules, and he was just 1 point away from 100 club. See, 87 points is rubbish. He got 99 points.
Yeah,
Jules.
Well done to him. No, well done.
They're 36.
Like me, he's very humble. He's very humble.
They're 36th and 37th in the world right now. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the players that are going to be returning to the Premier League. Sam's already mentioned that we're going to have a bit of a headache on our hands when Salah gets back, particularly with those doubles for Liverpool. Well, Son and Hwang were also knocked out of the Asian Cup on Tuesday. They're back on UK soil. Could we see them in game week 24, Sam, do you think?
Probably. I mean, they're match fit, aren't they? It's not, you know, they're not come back injured. They arrived back on Wednesday, I think. I think Son said he was back in London on Wednesday. So we'll have a couple of days worth of training with Spurs. Same for Hwang with Wolves. I think it will be interesting because obviously the Spurs attack has been actually quite good while Son's been absent. So it'll be interesting to see what Postecoglou decides to do. Son, I do think, is taking it quite hard going out of the Asian Cup, I think.
I saw you share his post, his Instagram post.
Made me cry. I was like, oh no, bless his heart. Part of me at this point was like, I'll just go and win it now. You've been gone for so long. Just go and win it. And then obviously there's part of me that's like, get back as quickly as possible. Get back in the team because, you know, it's important for Spurs. He's our captain. But he does seem to have taken it quite badly. So I guess we'll see what Postecoglou decides to do with him, whether he brings him straight back in or I would expect he does. And I would expect that Hwang comes straight back in as well. I think that they're both. So if you've held them, if you've had them on your bench, I think you're looking like you're in a nice place now where you can have them straight back in for 24. Obviously, neither of them double, but nice fixtures.
How could this affect my Richarlison pick, do you think, Sam?
I don't think it will. No. I don't think anything will affect Richarlison. I think the way that Richarlison's playing in that number nine, he's made it his spot. I think, if anything, it'll be Werner that drops for Sonny. So I think you've got no problems with Richarlison. And if anything, I think having Son and Maddison back around Richarlison for the supply lines that they create can only be a good thing for your Richarlison pick.
Correct answer. elsewhere, some other news. I mentioned this game before. Chelsea beat Villa last night in a remarkable performance, which hopefully, actually, let's have a quick word on that, Jules. I know you'll have watched it.
Yeah,
that was not the performance we were expecting from Mauricio Pochettino's side. It's certainly the performance they needed. Does that give you a bit of hope? Or I know you're not a Chelsea owner, but if you were owning Chelsea assets in FPL, does it give you a bit of hope?
Yes, of course it would. I mean, I don't know what's with them in the Cups, because they obviously did really well in the League Cup, which they would play the final against Liverpool, and in the FA Cup. I don't think anybody saw that game coming against Villa away at Villa Park as well, considering what we saw against Wolves at Stamford Bridge at the weekend, which was a disaster, let's be honest. This was very different. It's easier when you score two goals in the first 20 minutes of a kind of a Premier League match, which that's what it was, the FA Cup replay. Of course, it helps, but I thought collectively they were great. You mentioned Malo Gusto already. That had a really, really good performance. We saw an amazing free kick by Enzo Fernandez, and him and Caicedo looked really comfortable in that game, which we've rarely seen a team and a partnership in midfield looking that good away at Villa Park this season, where usually Villa in midfield just boss all the games with Douglas Luiz and Camara. So very impressive from them. The only thing is, obviously, with Chelsea, the lack of consistency this season has been pretty, pretty impressive. So you just never know what team is going to turn up at the weekend back in the league. And clearly the league is not the same story for them than in the domestic cup. So if you have a Gusto, I mean, Gallagher maybe, Palmer for sure, I think he's owned by 35% of the managers, you keep. Would you invest even more in Chelsea? I don't think so. We need to see a bit more from them in terms of consistency to be able to do that.
Another reason not to invest in Chelsea at the moment as well, potentially, is the fact that their fixture against Spurs in game week 26 will not now happen. So it is a blank in that game week. That does also mean, by the way, that Aston Villa's fixture with West Ham became the third match guaranteed to be played in game week 29. They join Fulham, Spurs, Burnley and Brentford as teams who will definitely play in that game week. We'll know about the rest of the matches when the fifth round of the FA Cup is played. That's at the end of February. So in the midweek after game week 26. Okay, well, last week we spoke a lot about the forwards, and I'm going to let you into a secret. We were also meant to do midfielders, but we all chatted way too much on forwards, so we didn't get onto it. So we're going to try again today, and I think we've got enough time. That's good news. Let's start with Anthony Gordon, Jules, because he was seen wearing a protective, if I can say it, brace, and he left the stadium on crutches at the end of game week 23. Not the best news from Eddie Howe either. He said it looked like he twisted his ankle. He was in a lot of pain at halftime. He had to come off. That was his decision, and he knew he could not continue. As always, listen to Eddie Howe's press conference, but doesn't sound great, does it?
No, it doesn't sound great. A bit alarming. And I mean, the protective boot is to protect, obviously. So that doesn't mean that it's a very bad injury, long-term absence or anything like that. It just means that for now, they're assessing it. He would have gone through a lot of treatment in the week. It was good for Newcastle not to play midweek, for example, in an FA Cup replay or something like that. And then we see if he would be fit or not to travel to Nottingham for the Forest game at the weekend. The thing I would say about Gordon is that he looks very resilient. To be fair, I think he'd had niggles before this season. He'd had a few knocks there and there, and yet he kept playing and kept doing well. Even if you believe that Newcastle are not maybe at the level that we expected them to be, which is true, and we saw what happened against Luton in that incredible 4-4, but they will still create chances, whether it's on counter-attacks and transitions, where they have a bit more of the ball. But you know that if he's fit enough to play and you have him, I would hold, because there was always something coming out of Gordon. If you don't have him, I'm not sure it's the right time to invest in him, though.
No, I agree. He's like one of those, I don't want to sell, but yeah, I wouldn't. If I didn't have him, I wouldn't get rid. He's pretty reliable in terms of returns, though I do wish I played Cole Palmer over him this week. Made the wrong decision there. Anyway, we've forgotten about game week 23. Salah, Sam, we vaguely mentioned him a couple of times on this podcast, as well as his return from AFCON. You do also have to bear in mind that he got that injury as well, didn't he? So that might also affect when he returns to Liverpool. Well, it definitely will.
Yeah, he tweeted a picture of himself on the grass, but I'm a bit cautious of that since Haaland regularly sent us pictures of him on grass and then didn't come back for ages. And then he's been in the gym a lot. He's been posting that a lot on social media. So I don't think he's too far away, but the question is, how fit is he? Is he available to start in 24? Like, none of that stuff is very clear to us yet. So Klopp's press conference ahead of 24 is going to be really important. And then again, obviously ahead of game week 25, because you're not going to be able to realistically spend 13 million on a player unless you're absolutely sure that they're going to play in double game week 25 and play significant minutes in game week 25, because you could just invest in the expensive players from Manchester City instead, or you could have a look at Jota or one of the other options from Liverpool who are potentially a bit more reliable. So the press conferences from Klopp are going to be absolutely key. I think, given the blank following, if your strategy is not to free hit in 26, that's also going to maybe affect your ability to have Salah in your team for the double, if he's available.
Yeah, I kind of almost don't want him to be available just so it's one less headache. It feels like there's enough at the moment. Jules, a word on Bukayo Saka, because he was taken off in game week 23, but is he okay? Mikel Arteta's comments didn't worry me too much.
Yeah, no, he seems okay. And to be fair, since we've said that, maybe it was time to look into him. And if you were wildcarding, maybe not bring him back into your team. He's been really good. He returned 9 points at the weekend, 10 points the weekend before. He's had actually 3 returns in the last 4 match days. So he seems to be back in form. And the way Arsenal played against Liverpool on Sunday was really impressive. So it's West Ham away. It's a tricky fixture. Remember what happened in the reverse fixture at the Emirates just after Christmas. So you won't take anything for granted, but certainly Saka looks like the break that they had when they went to Dubai did him a lot of good.
It's interesting because when we look at Arsenal, and we spoke recently about how we maybe wouldn't invest elsewhere in Arsenal at the moment, and I kind of even questioned a little bit, didn't we, if we wanted Saka. All of a sudden, I'm wondering if you didn't have an Arsenal midfielder, if Martinelli is actually the better option.
Yeah, he's coming back strong, to be fair. More than an Odegaard who's still maybe a little bit below par for what we've been used to with him last season, especially when he was on great form and one of the best midfielders in the league in terms of productivity, really. And this season, he's still very good, of course. He's also very good at taking photos, by the way, which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But yeah, for Odegaard, he's still not there yet, I think, in what we would expect from him if we had him in our team. Martinelli, however, after a very difficult start of the season and first half of the season even, seems to be picking up. He got lucky, let's be honest, on his goal against Liverpool. Of course, that would never happen again. But he's there. He's looking sharper, I think. And again, I think maybe the break in Dubai and those few days over there did him also a lot of good.
Yeah, 4 goal involvements in the last 4 game weeks for Gabriel Martinelli. That's 3 goals, 1 assist and 6 bonus points. Yeah. So yeah, he's a bit of a points magnet at the moment. Sam, though, who are the best midfielders to own? I'm not sure Martinelli will get into that because there's so much competition.
Yeah, I think you have to kind of look at who's available right now. So for me, Jota would be my first choice in midfield. I think he looks really nice, particularly with the double coming up. For Liverpool, I think you've at least got to have one of Foden and KDB. If you can make way for both of them, then great. I think you're going to struggle to have both of them in your team if you want to also have these other big assets that we've been talking about and hold the likes of Saka. So I think for me, I've got KDB and I still really like him as a pick. He was so dangerous against Brentford, even though it was Foden that got all the points. So Jota, KDB, I put Richarlison in there, Kels. Like, I do think that, you know, a few weeks ago, I was like, no, I'm not feeling the love for Richarlison. But every single week I sit there and I'm like, as a Spurs fan, like, how have I not got this guy in my team? Like, honestly, it's getting ridiculous. So I think I'd have him in there as well. And then I think you can kind of look, I'd go differential and have Rodri. And I do think that that's a nice pick heading into the double game week. And then obviously he doesn't blank. So that puts you in a nice position there. And then if I was wildcarding, I would go a bit rogue, I think, with that fifth midfielder slot. And I'd probably go for somebody like a Ross Barkley or a really, really cheap option, because it would enable you to target in on the double and then move him on straight afterwards if you want to somebody else.
Do you agree, Jules? What do you think are the best midfielders?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think Cole Palmer, I know he's started to be heavily owned now, 35% we said before, but he's still really cheap. And he's returning quite regularly, even if it's just penalties or whatever. But he's been in good form for Chelsea in a team that in the league has struggled really to function and to get that consistency. So Palmer, I think, would be in there. I've got Pedro Neto has a differential coming up later in the show. And I think, again, in midfield, if you're looking for a fifth one that is not as premium, let's say, as you are the four, then I think Neto, who is the best assist in the league, I think deserves a mention for sure.
Kind of depends on how your team's set up as well, doesn't it, Sam, and how heavy you're going. If you've got a Trent Alexander-Arnold, for example,
yeah, absolutely.
Or if you want to go big on your forwards, because if you want a Trent or a Haaland and a KDB, you then might have to have some one or two cheaper midfielders in there.
Yeah, particularly because, you know, all right, at the moment we're not talking about Salah, but if you want to have Saka, Jota, KDB or Foden, Haaland and a Trent, you're going to have to be budget friendly across the rest of that midfield. You won't have a choice because you just can't have, even Richarlison, because he's taking so many price rises, even he might be a struggle to have alongside them if you're also keeping Watkins and if you've got Darwin as well. Like if that's your front line, if you've got Haaland, Watkins, Darwin, the midfield's going to have some compromises. It's going to have some cheaper ones unless you're prepared to just put all of your compromises in the defence and not have Trent. So I think the midfield, there's value to be had. There's Garnacho as well. We've not mentioned him. Mm. He's a really nice, cheap way into Manchester United. He seems to be finding form. Whether you really want to invest in Manchester United, given that they don't double, but they are starting to find a little bit of form in the league. So you could go for him. There's the Luton options who've got the doubles. You could go for them. There's options, I think, in that cheap bracket. And as Jill says, you know, there's Palmer as well. So I think having a couple of cheap options actually is starting to make quite a lot of sense.
Right, I'm going to put you both on the spot. And I've tried to do this as well, but I'm not really sure it would actually work if I was doing it because it's so expensive. But if you're wildcarding right now, Jules, which five midfielders would you pick?
I would pick KDB ahead of Foden, I won't lie. I just think, I know Foden scored a hat-trick and it's amazing for him, etc. But I think the key is KDB in that team. Then I'll have Jota for all the reasons that Sam mentioned. Saka for now because of that momentum, so keep him for now and then see. I'll have Cole Palmer as one of the cheapest options, but who's very good still. And then for the fifth one, again, it depends what the rest is, hard to say because it would depend who you have at the back and who you have up front. But you could go for Neto, you could go for a bit more rogue to target double game week, like Sam said. So I'd go KDB, Jota, Saka, Palmer and Neto.
Okay, I'm going to say mine now, Sam, before I get accused of copying you. Mine's actually very similar to Jules as well. I've gone Jota, Saka, De Bruyne, Richarlison and Palmer, mainly because I feel like I've really got to go loyal with Richarlison. Sam, what about you?
Yeah, my five are the same as yours, Cal.
What, yes, I'm glad
she
I said
copies
it first.
On you. She copies. She always does.
Sam didn't even know I'd written my own. Often I just pose the question to you, but this week I thought, no, I'll write my own. Because actually I did it as well. It was a bit of an exercise for myself. And if you're listening to this, it made me feel a lot better. Where you feel at the moment like you've never quite got the players that you want, or every week it feels like you miss out on someone's points. Even you this week, Jules, with your brilliant week, must have watched Richarlison and thought, oh, I'd love those points.
Yeah, completely.
You can't have them all. So I kind of did it as an exercise to myself. I wrote down the five midfielders I would ideally want to compare it to my team. And I was like, actually, I'm not that far off it. So it's not as bad as you think, even if you don't have the best game week. It's a bit of therapy, if you like. I always say past that. Okay, let's move on to the regular section that we do on this show, differential of the week. Jules has already revealed his.
Yeah, but last week he's going to start again because his differential returned last week.
Hey, of course.
I'm going to gloss over that.
No, but he'll bring it up. Anything. He'll bring it up. If you cross over it, Kel, he'll 100% bring it up.
Scored against Newcastle. You got 6 points. You're going for Neto this week. Tell us why.
I told you he would. And by the way, remember when I said Buonanotte and everybody laughed at me? He returned this week.
No, stop it. Okay, you can't claim a guy from the week. No, you can't claim that.
He's a week late. I'm just saying,
I'll claim the one ahead in game week one, shall I?
No, I'm just pointing it out. No, but like, come on. It was just late 1 week.
All right, well, I shouted out JWP for last week.
No, it's okay.
You know,
so
pen that night,
please.
I'm not just a planner. I also do a lot of research, as you know. So listen to me carefully, people. Neto, why Neto? 5.7 million, so it's quite cheap, to be fair. He's only owned by less than 3% of the managers at the moment because he had an injury. Remember, before the injury, he was on really good form. We mentioned the 8 assists already in the league, which is great for him. It's not just that. His goal involvement per 90 minutes is 0.46, so, you know, 0.5. He's got 5.41 touches in the opposition box per 90 minutes again, so very, very heavily served in the box and touches a lot of boards in the opposition box and creates 2.5 chances per 90 minutes as well in the Premier League this season. So Neto is the guy this week.
What is happening here? He's written stuff down.
I was going to say, this is the most notes I've ever seen in her.
I mean, that's last week and that's this week. So
okay, it's still not many, but...
It's still- It's all about research, planning, you know, awareness,
the knowledge. The pressure's on, Kel.
Hope you've got some good notes, Sam, because you, as we said, picked Ward-Prowse and he got 2 points. But come on,
turned the week before, though, week? You know, as Jules says.
No, but it's better than the week before. You had 1 point. I don't know who it was, but one
no,
point,
I had Madison so. Last week. Okay. I think you'll find.
Okay. Anyway, who have you got this week?
I've got somebody I've also mentioned on this pod already in Ross Barkley. So he's got Sheffield United this week. Nice fixture for him. And I think, actually, his underlying stats have been ridiculous over the last few weeks, kind of quietly disappearing under the radar because, you know, who's looking at the Luton midfield? But people will start looking now because, of course, with the two doubles coming up. And it does look like a good investment, not just for this week, but also for the foreseeable, particularly if you're planning to free hit in game week 26, as we've been talking about. So 3 goals and 4 assists in his last 9 appearances. That's his most attacking returns in the Premier League since the 2018-19 season. And we still have 15 game weeks to go, but those 15 game weeks are actually 17 matches for Ross Barkley and Luton, because as we say, we've got the two double game weeks coming up. And since game week 10, he's had 34 shots. That's the most across anyone in the Luton team. So very attacking. Playing really well, driving the Luton team forward. I don't know why I've gone so heavy on the Ross Barkley love this morning, but here we are, Ross Barkley.
Yeah, he's a really good option, isn't he?
Yeah, it's cheap.
Yeah.
Particularly with the doubles as well. So he's not just a 1 week wonder potentially, Sam. I see what you've done there.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, with differentials often we come and we go, right, well, they've got a really nice fixture this week, but this is not the moment in the season to be looking just for 1 week. Obviously, the differentials for us, they just count in their week that they return. But actually, if you're going to bring in a differential at the moment, you do want to make sure that they've got nice fixtures. So bringing in somebody like Barkley for game week 24, where it's a great fixture against Sheffield United, and then knowing you've got the double, if you're free hitting in 26, then you don't have to worry about that blank. And then you've got another double in game week 28. So you could hold him feasibly as your fifth midfielder and have a decent run of fixtures with him.
Okay, let's see who returns this week. I'm backing Ross Barkley, as you can probably imagine.
0.9%, by the way. That's a proper diff.
Yeah, it is actually.
2.8% is a proper diff as well.
Captains. Let's move on to captains. Who's the best option this week, Jules? Why am I even asking you? Because you never do what you say you're going to do. In fact, tell us who you're going to transfer out and you'll probably captain them.
No. I mean, all I would say is that obviously in game week 23, it was Watkins captain time. Here we go. I think it would be Haaland. It's not very sexy, but.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go Haaland or De Bruyne. What about you, Sam?
She's
not. Oh, you are.
I don't know. Haaland, yes. It's the lunchtime kickoff. You know how I feel about the lunchtime kickoff, Kel. I am tempted by Jota.
Look what happened in the lunchtime kickoff last week. If I had captain Richarlison, I'd have been a lot closer to Jules.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'm tempted by Jota this week. Nice fixture against Burnley. Yeah, I am tempted to bring in Jota and captain him, but I'll probably get the fear and give the armband to Haaland.
Yeah, we're back in that territory.
I'm scared, yeah.
Where Haaland's going to be so heavily captained, yeah. That's the reason I bought him in last week at 10:59, because I had the fear, and just shows that the fear is absolutely useless. Okay, transfers. Sam, you've already told us you're going to take a -4 ahead of game week 24, you think, because you're going to target Liverpool and Luton.
Correct. So Pascal Gross, who's done nothing but troll me since I've owned him, either blanking when I've played him or returning when he's on my bench. He's going. He's going to become Jota this week. And then I'm just going to wait for an update from Vincent Kompany. Hopefully he's actually going to give us one on Charlie Taylor, because if Charlie Taylor is going to be fit and available before game week 26, then I might hold him and sell Livramento instead. At least I know I'm going to get a couple of points off the bench from Livramento every week. So it's either going to be Livramento or Charlie Taylor to Alfie Doughty. But I don't know which one of them I'm going to sell yet.
I'm excited for the FPL world to go big now on Alfie Doughty and Ian to feel like he's a trendsetter.
Trailblazing, yeah.
Jules, what about you?
Yeah, so I've got 2 free transfers. Doughty was going to be one of them for Livramento. And then the other one, I don't know if I play it or keep it. I'd be tempted by Luis Diaz because I think he's been really good. We've talked a lot about Jota and Darwin, and rightly so, and if Salah come back or not. I think I probably could do Diaz, and then whenever Salah is ready, I probably would have enough money to swap them. If not, I'm not sure where the second.
This is such a classic Jules answer.
No way! I'm just saying.
So no KDB.
But KDB is another option. I just don't know yet what to do with the second transfer. But I've given you one for sure, one certain. This is Thursday morning. I've got still plenty of time until Saturday morning.
Guaranteed not to do that transfer, by the way.
Yeah, no, Doughty for sure. Trust me, believe me. You know I never lie. You know that.
Trust is one thing I don't have to do, Julian Laurent. Okay, that's where we'll leave it on that note before he brings up the number of points he got again last
87,
week.
87, everyone!
On that note, let's get off this podcast ASAP. Sam's got a head in the hands and I just want to get off here. FPL Pod Mini League code, IV3WLK. I'm going to say this as quickly as possible. Your deadline is Saturday morning, 11 a.m, 90 minutes ahead of Manchester City, welcoming Everton to the Etihad. Ian will be back with this week's fantasy show on Friday morning. Off the Bench will be back on Tuesday. Andy and Sam will be taking you through all the Game Week 24 talking points. Thanks for listening. If you've made it this far, congratulations, because I nearly didn't too. Bye.